Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you for tuning into Holy Ghost Radio Show, a spirit-filled show with a prophetic mandate to reach the lost and impact God's people with biblical and revelation knowledge. We pray that the Word of God will make a difference in the lives of every listener. So tell a family member, friend, and a neighbor to tune into this life-changing message. Be blessed.
Well, hello, everyone. Once again, I am your host, Tiana Copeland. I want to welcome you guys to Holy Ghost Radio Show, a spirit-filled show with a prophetic mandate to reach the lost and impact God's people with biblical and revelation knowledge. Tonight, we are so honored to have our weekly guests, Apostle Conrad Bowman and Prophetess Sharonda Riley, out of Memphis, Tennessee, and tonight we're going to be discussing demonology and deliverance, and I want you guys to help me welcome them to the show tonight. How you guys doing on tonight?
Doing great.
We're doing good. How are you?
We are great. We are great. We are great. I'm just so glad to have you guys tonight. I know this show is going to be a little I don't want to say lengthy, but a lot of information is going to really be given out on tonight. And you guys that's already tuning in, I would love for you to go ahead and pray while you're listening to the show, because we don't know what God is going to do and we don't know what God is going to release over the line tonight. You want to ask the Lord to cover you guys under the blood of Jesus. So, Apostle Bowman, let's get with it. Let's start talking about demonology and deliverance. I'm just so excited to hear what you guys got to say about it.
My God. Well, I think, yeah, that's so customary. I just think, you know, prayer is in order. So I'm going to just go ahead and pray.
Okay.
And, we're just going to launch off from there. But Heavenly Father, God, we thank you on tonight. God,
thank
we thank you,
Lord.
God, the people, God, that have tuned in, Lord God, to hear on this particular subject, God. They have not come to hear from man, but they've come to hear from you, O Holy Spirit. Lord, we ask you to have your way. In the mighty name of Jesus, God,
yes,
through the
God.
Blood of Jesus, over the airways, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, God, that every electromagnetic wave be still and stabilized. God, I bind every hindering spirit. God, every mind violent spirit. God, let the scales fall from their eyes. Let the stoppers fall from their ears. And let the blindness come off of their hearts tonight. God, speak something, God, that somebody will be changed forever.
Yes,
for.
Lord.
God, ask God that you do a mighty deliverance, God, on the line. God, that even some people, God, they don't even need a miracle or need spiritual deliverance, but they may need deliverance in their finance. They may need deliverance in their homes. They may need deliverance in their emotions, in their mind. God, just do a total 360-degree work in the name of Jesus.
Yes,
God, I ask
Lord.
God. We bind right now, God, every spirit, every hindering spirit, God, every principality, every power, every rule of the darkness of this world, every spiritual wickedness in high and heavenly places. Ah, Yabasha. There you go, Rabasha. The blood of Jesus is against you. You have no power. You have no power here. All of your dominion is stripped. You underneath my power in the name of Jesus. I move in the authority of God, in the exousia of God. And I
yes,
stabilize
God.
Every airway. I stabilize the anointing. I stabilize it in the name of Jesus. I still every action of the enemy, of the
yes,
schemes of the enemy be shut down. God, I speak God, that he be rising in confusion like a wheel turning in the wind. God, I ask God that you would send forth your fire tonight.
Yeah, but we'll shake it a little
in the name of Jesus. Yes, God, everything, God. God, everything dead that need to come back. God, that it be resurrected in the name
yes,
of
Lord.
Jesus for your people on tonight, God. Yeah, God. God, that we be under. God, that we be made closer to you, Lord.
Yes, God.
This broadcast will never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen.
In Jesus' name, amen.
And amen. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
All right, Apostle. I want you to go ahead on and give us what the Lord has given you about demonology and deliverance.
I tell you, Prophetess, I was just about to go there because somebody probably hears me tonight all up in tongues and praying and hard and decreeing and declaring and like, what is that? Why is that so necessary? And this, that, and the other. And you have so many people. I have to share, there were we was in church, and there were so many people that were getting prayed for at the altar. And God is doing such a work in this hour. We have a lot of people, yes, God, that are trying to be wonders and stepping in places where they have no authority. When we start talking about demons, first thing you need to understand is authority. Godly authority. Because if you have none, you can't tell demons what to do.
Yes.
Because we need to understand that God is the devil's boss. The devil don't just run up and do anything that he wants to do. And if holy, Yadabasha, glory help me tonight, God. Because if God allowed it, if God is allowing it, then it's still under his control, which means that we have the permission and the legal access and right of way to put an end to it. But if it's not under God's control, then it means that you have opened up an illegal door that needs to be shut. A lot of times, the enemy has access to us because we don't know enough.
Oh, Jesus. Whew.
Trying to pray peace over folk that got demons, trying to hold them to the floor, and that don't make it go through the carpet down to hell. That doesn't send the spirit out. And it vexes my spirit, Lord help me, because we got so many practices. We got folk purging, and they still going out. Help me, Lord. When we got to understand purging is a mysticism practice. And we folk going to learn some stuff on tonight that actually summons demons. It doesn't make them come out.
Whoa.
Just because somebody threw up or sneezed does not mean that the devil came out. Because after that, you got to seal up the exit. You got to get the person filled with the spirit so that when the demon, if the demon is coming back, that's the whole point of our deliverance. We don't understand that after you feel like, oh, the spirit left, they've been delivered. No, no. Deliverance is not just I'm delivered. Deliverance is I am yet delivered. It takes more to maintain deliverance than it is to get delivered.
Yes.
And we ought to understand that a lot of times deliverance ain't up to you. Deliverance don't happen when you want it to. You don't never come out when you want to. Because your life is attached to somebody else. Therefore, it is a testimony.
Yes, yes.
So I'm trying to calm down because we're on the radio show.
No, have you, look, have your way.
You know, because God is really, it's just something that we are going into the 21st, 22nd century, and we don't under, we are going in with a 1612, 1711 mentality. We haven't tapped the mind of Lord Jesus. We haven't tapped the mind of God to see demons how God sees them. Somebody coming to another level tonight. I don't know who you are.
Jesus.
You need to be encouraged because you seeing stuff and you're like, I don't have the language. I don't know enough, but you can see.
Yeah.
And a lot of times, Lord, have mercy, Jesus, God will allow this stuff to come forward so that you be educated on the matter. Because first of all, we got to understand that everything is not a devil. Ain't no such thing as a cigarette demon. Ain't no such thing as a polo demon. Ain't no such thing as a, you know, a Miller Lite demon. There's no such thing as that. And it's time for us. That's why we're not really delivered today, because we don't understand the root causes. We are
blinding the language.
And don't know where the roots are. So the tree just standing tall in your face because we're binding fruit. You're knocking apples off the tree, but the tree still stands. And when the season comes back for apples, they're coming again. Because every tree is known by its fruit.
It's fruit. Ooh, you better say that.
And you got to understand what's feeding my tree. What's feeding my spirit? What am I rooted and grounded in? And a lot of these habits, Holy Ghost, and the things you need to be delivered from, people of God, is not even yours. Lord, of your grandmama, Lord, of your great aunt. I was telling the story to one of my spiritual mentorees today that we was in a deliverance session, and the prophet came forth and had to cast a spirit off of this young woman that was on her great-grandmother, who happened to try to make her a fourth-century witch. Enemy always trying to cut up, but he has no power.
Yeah.
He's already making noise and doing stuff, but he has no power and no access.
Yes,
somebody's going to get delivered tonight from everything. They're going to get delivered.
Because
anyone banking on you hearing this tonight, but it's coming forth. There's a two-edged sword coming. You turned into the right radio show. That's why it says Holy Ghost Radio Show.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, we believe in the Holy Spirit. We believe in the Holy Ghost.
Yes, yes.
Oh, help me, God. I'm trying, prophets. I really am.
let God use you.
Well, I think people, first of all, when you talk about deliverance ministry, a lot of times we think about casting out devils whenever you casting out devils. And deliverance ministry evolved over time. It didn't just erupt as, oh, I'm casting something out, or, oh, we need to hold you down. It didn't start with the sons of Sceva. It didn't start with Jesus casting out devils. Deliverance ministry started in Genesis. It started in heaven. It started in the Garden of Eden. God saw what was happening on earth. It started out, you know, beautiful. God created the heavens and the earth, and it was without form and void. And then you go to the next scripture, and it says it was without form and void. Now, how can something that reflects heaven, which is earth, which is perfection, reflecting the glory of God, all of a sudden, verse 2, be destroyed, be dark, and without void, without form? Because when the enemy was cast down, and they believed that it was centuries that passed by, that when the enemy was cast down, there was a wall and something that went out on the earth that actually caused destruction when he hit the earth. That's why it pays to look into the scripture with Revelation. Jesus said, I looked and I saw Satan fall like lightning.
Like lightning, yes.
When you look in Revelation and you see Michael and then the war broke out in heaven, you can read that in Revelation chapter 12. Michael, oh God, and the Lord angels were in, they had permission to legally kick Satan out of heaven. At that time was Lucifer and one side of the heavenly host. When they hit earth, it sent out darkness.
Yes.
So the first act of deliverance, God said, okay, I can't have this. So what he said was, he said, I got to let my spirit move across the face of the waters. And God said, to deliver earth from what it's about to go through, before you think you can, you cut up in heaven, but you're not going to send it come down here and cut up too. I'm going to send you to the bottomless pit. But he said, let there be light. He wasn't talking about sunlight, because sunlight doesn't come until a 26th verse. The planets weren't created then. He said, let my presence dwell there.
Wow.
And wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty.
Liberty.
Where he's not, there is bondage. Yeah, I know. I'm going to have to pull out the 12 strongmen on tomorrow. I'm going to have to pull those out, because back in the Old Testament, there was no such thing as deliverance ministry as what we know today. If you had a spirit on you, they killed you.
Yeah, they did. They did.
You know, they didn't ask Jezebel, do you want deliverance? Do you want to come to the service tonight? Because we haven't delivered. No, she kept the spirit. She had a chance to repent. And when judgment came, God allowed her to be murdered.
Yes,
and
he did.
By the prophets.
The
eunuchs threw her down out of her palace. So back in the day, that's why I say every real prophet got a sword. Because back in the day, they walked through the wilderness. They had to carry weapons. God told Saul, I want you to kill King Agag and all of his lineage. Well, because he didn't do that, he failed to do that, one of the lineage of Agag got up and tried to destroy the nation of Israel when Esther was born. What you do not kill today, somebody needs to be writing that down. But what you don't get rid of, what you don't kill today, is coming back tomorrow to kill you.
Ooh, yeah, yeah.
And evil starts with a generation. It didn't just start with you. Well, why can't I put this down? Or why can't I not do this? Or why don't I have peace? It did not start with you. So I don't want you to think that everything that happened to you or what you're going through was necessarily your fault. Because just like there are generational blessings, there are generational curses that are passed down. And when you were born, there was either angel, oh God, or a familiar spirit assigned to you at birth to keep you out of the presence of God. When you grow up and you meet people like, oh, I thought it was so divine connection and they like everything that I like. And as soon as you get saved, they recognize, I remember we were coming down a street in Baltimore, when I used to live in Baltimore, and they got a lot of psychics and white witches on a street called Monument Street. And we went down the street. And they said, there's a light in you. There's a white angel in you. I said, ain't no white angel. It's Jesus Christ. That's why you can't tell me my fortune, because he's looking you in the face. You can't even look at me because the light's so bright. Well, y'all go on ahead. We was going to read your fortune, but you blessed. See, you know something on your life when a witch called you blessed.
Yes, yes, yes.
Because all authority is under God. I want the folks to understand that. That God is in charge of the enemy. The enemy just don't got permission just to run amok. What he is running, oh, God, he knows his time is short. That God is allowing the devil to do whatever he's big and bad enough to do because he knows that there's something down in you that can take him out. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost. Because all of us are screaming, ooh, you know, God, please remove this thorn. And there's a thorn in my flesh. But a thorn in the flesh, Paul's thorn was not a disease. It wasn't a bad habit. He said it was a messenger sent to buffet me because of the revelations that God showed me. I'm not talking to folks that's weak and wimpy and weak. We're going to get to you that got a habit that needs something to be broke. But I'm talking to the people that's walking through the fire. And if you're walking, enemy is loose on your life and you're a Christian that loves God, that follows God, that obeys God, the devil cannot kill you.
Yes.
He cannot take you out. He is under permission by God to beat you up, to blacken your eyes, to push you in warfare, to get you in the ring and box you, but he cannot kill you. He ain't got no permission to kill you.
Like he did Job.
You can't fight this battle. It's the Lord. And the only reason why God allows the enemy on your life is because he can trust you to battle the devil. You're bigger and better than the devil. You got stuff working in you you don't even know working in you. You a bad mamma jamma. You don't even know it.
Ooh.
The first thing that I wanted to address with the body of Christ that's listening, I didn't even want to interrupt Apostle.
Okay,
but I almost said my name is on the show because I just wanted to sit in and just soak this up. But the first thing that the people have to understand concerning deliverance is prayer.
Yes.
And a lot of things that I used to teach intercessors that I used to train up was one of the most dangerous things to do is to take yourself through deliverance if you are possessed. There are different types of possessions. You have possession, you have obsession, you have oppression, you have depression, suppression. There's so many different types that we're also going to be discussing tomorrow. So if you don't have pen and paper tonight, you're going to definitely need it tomorrow because we got lots of information given out. But back to what I was saying, you have to be in prayer. And one of the things that I teach the intercessors that I do mentor is always before you go into warfare with any spirit, before you try to take on any principality or anything, I mean, because some of us, we got the know-it-alls and, you know, we just, you know, the wannabe prophets and, you know, we got all these wonders out here.
Mm-hmm.
But get so up. I'm going to tell you about an experience that happened to me today, not today, but yesterday at church. However, before you go into warfare, you always pray Ephesians 6 and 10. You cannot go into warfare if you do not have on war clothes. If you are not clothed according to how Paul teaches you, and some people say, well, how do you do that? You go into prayer. Because you, first of all, you have to know the authority that's on the inside of you. The first thing you should do is operate in the authority that God has already given you. If you believe that Jesus Christ is your Lord and your personal Savior, if you believe that he has died for your sins. If you have believed that he has ascended into the heaven and is now seated at the right hand of the Father, that he has all power in his hands, if you believe on Jesus Christ in that manner, the Bible said that you are saved. Now,
that's right.
If you believe that the first step to salvation is what? To believe, right? All right.
Mm-hmm.
So if you believe, the Bible said these signs shall follow those who believe, not those who claim it,
mm-hmm.
not people who talk about it, but
mm-hmm.
the people who believe, not believe what's on mine. Well, my grandmama taught me about Jesus, and my
yes.
great-grandmama, I've seen her lay hands and cast out devils, and
mm-hmm.
and they prophesied to me and said, you know, that I'm going to be the one to deliver the next generation, and you know, and I know I be having dreams, and I be knowing what they mean sometimes, and you ESP, and you don't even know it. And you sit here, you talking about, I know I got to get the prophecy because I told somebody something was going to happen, and it happened. And then when the demons come up to you, now you feel like you have the anointing to cast it out, and you don't have no Holy Ghost.
Mm-hmm.
You can't. You'll find yourself
mm-hmm.
being like the seven sons of Sceva.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen that the prophetess. I've seen it so many times. I have seen women who thought they were just so anointed, and they tried to cast the devil out of a little 13-year-old girl. The girl was, I mean, when I said she was little, she was Jada Pinkett little. And
mm-hmm.
these four women came up on her because she began to fall out on the floor. She started foaming at the mouth and things like that, and she started screaming and growling. And they was getting upset with me because I wouldn't go over there. And I said, look, God didn't tell me to go over there.
Mm-hmm.
This was like my first year in ministry. This was, must have been 2001. I wasn't going to go over there. I didn't know anything about deliverance. But because
mm-hmm.
they put a title on my name, they felt that I was supposed to run over there. I didn't go over there. I had enough sense to know not to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, these women went to this girl, tried to cast the devil out of this girl.
Mm-hmm.
When I tell you, this girl levitated off of the ground. And
what?
For some of you, if you don't know what levitation is, it's when you can make your body elevate out of the ground. It's where you have demonic forces in your help. They can cause you to go against the laws of gravity. And you start floating. Chris Angel do it all the time on Mind Freak. He levitates off of the ground. He levitates on water. He walks on water. He smokes cigarettes and takes the cigarette and burn holes in quarters. This man has passed out white sheets of paper to people walking in the street. And as soon as he walks past them, they collapse and just go to sleep and snoring on the sidewalk. This warlock, you got people out here who are doing real deal stuff.
Yes.
This little girl got up, and she beat the brakes off of every last one of those evangelists except for one.
Wow.
I've seen where people were so demonically inclined to where they pick people up and throw them against the wall. People have been cursed out. Some people, they won't say anything. I mean, they won't touch you, but they'll tell your whole business, you can't cast me out. You still sleeping around with the demons. How you going to cast me out? And
ooh.
Then they never seen you before. You can't cast me out. You can't even keep your children in line. You can't cast me out. You can't do this. You can't do that. You better have a consecrated life before you even enter into the realm of deliverance. You cannot perform in deliverance. You cannot operate in deliverance. You can't get nobody delivered unless you first are delivered. Because even Jesus, when they accused the Pharisees and the Sadducees trying to accuse Jesus of casting the devil out by the help of devils. And isn't you crazy? I can't cast the devil out by the help of devils. Because why? Because the Bible says that any kingdom that goes against itself, that's divided against itself, it will not stand. The enemy got enough sense to know we can't be divided. But why is the body of Christ so divided? You got all denominations. You got all these different beliefs. We believe this, but we don't believe that. We do this, we don't do that. We don't say that. We go here, but we don't go over there. Come over here, we got the real power. No, you come over here, we got the power. But you come over here, all them tumors gonna fall off of you. No, you come over here, you gonna just rule, honey. You gonna prophesy like the Apostle Paul. And you think you just got it all together. All these denominations are coming together and not coming together, but they are breaking up more and more, making the body of Christ looking like a fool.
Mm-mm-mm.
Okay, now each denomination claims that they have the anointing.
Mm-hmm.
Each denomination
mm-hmm.
practices casting out devils. But why is it, as much as people have thrown up in bags, as much as people have sneezed and run around three times, tap your big toe and touch the ceiling and go sit back down, jump back up, run one more time, God's going to deliver you. But they're still dealing with the same thing.
Yes.
Because
well, before you finish that,
operated without power.
Okay, Prophets, before you finish that, because I want to ask you another question. You guys, if you want to make a comment, dream interpretation, prayer, you when you call in, you have to press 1. If you don't press 1, I would not know whether you want to actually talk to the apostle or the prophetess. But, prophetess, I want you to repeat that again because I see so many leaders try to cast out demons, and they're not free themselves.
Well, you
I see it all the time.
You know what? A lot of times it's because they're dealing with things. And one thing about it, it will not work. I don't care what anybody says. I don't know, and maybe some of the older saints may know, but I've never seen A.A. Allen cast out devils. He had issues himself. A lot of healing that came forth, a lot of gifts, but not the gifts of the Spirit were in operation, but he didn't cast out devils. And things like that. You know, you got people who are some of the greatest evangelists. They were very gifted. They knew how to prophesy, but they didn't cast devils out. Because that's not a casting out devils, first of all, is not a gift. It's an operation. But I have a gift of casting out devils. Please go to the Bible and show me where there is listed in the 9 gifts of the Spirit, because it is not.
It's
when
not.
You believe, those things are going to automatically follow you. You have to be filled with the Holy Ghost, and you have to believe in your heart. You have to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. You can't act like you know Jesus and cast the devil out of somebody. That's how you'll know. Because you know what, prophetess, the funny thing about it all is this. I know I just jumped, but pray for me.
Holy Ghost told
me that we are coming back in the season, or in the times, I'm sorry, but we're coming back in the time where people are going to be so demonically inclined. Because the real glory has to come back.
Yes.
The real glory has to come back in the church. And one way to do it and to have it done within the body of Christ or in the church is get a few demonically inclined people to come in, and you'll find people in the position of the 7 sons of Sceva. And those spirits will come out, and I want Apostle to explain that. And those spirits will come out and say, wait a minute, Jesus, I know. Paul, I know, but I don't know nothing about you. And I'm going to have Apostle explain it. I love how he put that when he was teaching us on demonology. Meaning, Jesus I know, Paul I know, but who are you? Okay. I know the word, and I know people who know the word, but you don't fall in either category. Trying to cast out devils when we have altar calls. You know how the pastor calls for altar calls. And things like that. And I'm going to go back to the leaders with that question. But, you know, pastors call the altar call and say, I want my altar workers to come up. And so because, you know, people are so title struck, they kind of want to be seen, you know.
Say that again.
Sorry. You know how people are title struck? You know, they want to be seen. So when the pastor calls for altar call, oh, I'm a leader. I'm jumping up there because, you know, if I get seen laying hands, they're going to see I'm anointed. And what I'm going to do, I'm going to pray real hard. I'm going to squish my eyebrows, and they're going to fall out. And if they fall out, then I'm anointed. And then the people might see it, and maybe I get a couple of fishing engagements. You're going to make a fool of yourself.
Yes.
Yeah. And they do it. As a matter of fact, there may be a couple of people who are listening on the broadcast and you're guilty of it. Okay? But what happens with that is, in this timing, the Lord is going to allow these spirits to start talking back. There was a demonic manifestation that took place on yesterday at the church. And the Lord was leading me to pray for the woman who was praying for the lady that had the demons. Because this woman had no power. Well, I've had an altercation with her before where she prayed for another woman with demons, and the Lord directed me to pray for this woman who was demonically inclined, and she pushed me away. And the girl went home. She was still bound. Okay? She never came back. Well, this lady, the bishop laid hands on her. She went backwards. And this lady, not just really knowing who she is, but, you know, because this ministry is such a large ministry and things like that, and a leader who really loves God. He just came, and the anointing was just on him so heavy. He laid hands on this girl, and she went back. But because he was in a zone, he was like, well, I have anointed altar workers, so I'm going to work the crowd. Now, whatever happens after that, I need my anointed leaders to go from there and minister to these people, because you're only one person. You know, I tell you, he's only one person. How about this woman falls out, screaming, shaking, gyrating, scrambling, and she began to slither on the ground like a snake.
Wow.
Again, the woman pushed me back again. I said, okay, Lord. And I said, you know what? I said, God, I'm going to stop helping her. I can't help her no more, because what's going to happen, the one person is going to come in, and they're going to beat her, you know, because it happens all the time. Or they're going to say, don't lay hands on me, don't touch me. You always get demonic manifestation like that, and if you're not careful, and if your life is not a consecrated life, not to say that the woman's not consecrated, nor if she has the Holy Ghost or not, but she was not a leader. She had no business on the altar. However, Apostle came out of nowhere, and he just began to yell, and he said, Lucifer, and as soon as he addressed the spirit by name, all activity stopped immediately.
Ooh.
Literally on the ground stopped, the foaming, the spitting, the crying, the shaking, the rigidness of her fingers, all of that relaxed, and she laid as if she was taking a nap. It just stopped. Now, the woman who was down on the floor with her, she jumps up, throws her hands in the air with her mouth wide open, like, oh, my God, he's yelling at me, and he runs away. Well, okay, well, now, if that scares you, then it lets me know that there's some things you're dealing with. You had no business being on the altar. So now we have leaders that are on the altar praying for people, and they're just transferring spirits. So
yes.
Now you're getting people who have a problem with nicotine, and they don't understand, well, I'm struggling with addictions. I'm struggling with perversion, and it's driving me to cigarettes. Or I'm struggling with this, and it's driving me to depression. Or I'm struggling, you know, different struggles. But they transfer a spirit, and they say, well, God delivered me from smoking, but I can't stop having sex. What's up with this? What's going on? You know, God delivered me from having sex, but now I can't stop watching porn. Or God delivered me from porn, and now I just got to run to the casino just to even spend my rent money. And, you know, I'm just making those, just throwing things out there. You begin to experience problems that you had never had before. Well, the person who lays hands on you may have dealt with that. That's why the scripture, one of the reasons why the scripture says to lay hands suddenly on no man.
No man.
We know it's also talking about appointment and, you know, and talking about putting people in a certain office and a position. Yes, I understand that. But even in that same manner, you can't let every and anybody lay hands on you.
Mm-hmm.
And I know
that's
people
right.
heard this a million and one times. You got to be careful who you lay hands on you. But you'll be the main one to go to church and somebody just run up and touch you, and you don't believe that you have the authority to grab them by the wrist, move their hands, and say, you didn't get permission to touch me, I have permission to knock your hand away from me. And we have to get in holy boldness, or we have to let people understand, you can't run up and touch me. You can lay hands on everybody.
There
are leaders who are pure heart, pure spirit, but may have an open door to their soul and may not know that they have an open door to their soul. Lay hands on somebody else, and that spirit will tear them up cat raggedy.
So my question is, but my question is, if they don't know how, what are they supposed to do if they don't know that they got an open door to their soul?
Prayer. One thing that I've learned about prayer, the Lord reveals everything.
Yes, yes.
But the thing about prayer is we can't give in prayer and just do all the talking, speaking in tongues, jumping, screaming, hollering, and crying, shouting, and read the scripture and come out and think that we've had an experience with the Lord. And God is looking like, where did that experience come from? Like, what happened? I didn't say anything. I didn't get a chance to say nothing.
Yeah.
I can't do nothing. You know, you got to have some time of meditation. You got to have time to where the Lord speak back to you. There have been times I went in prayer and been like, hush, da 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 da. Oh, wait a minute. And the Lord has cut me off.
Mm-hmm.
He has stopped me. And so, wait a minute, look, put your tongues away. Put all of that down. Take all of it in and tuck it in somewhere. I need to talk to you about you. That's where the dreams come in at. So he can't get your attention, not even in prayer. You feel like, and when I say you, I'm just speaking in general, because I don't want anyone to get an offense. But you feel as if, well, I pray every single day, and I pray in the Holy Ghost every day, and I see, and that's how I know I'm powerful. But what has the Lord said to you? When you get it, thank you, Lord. When you get like that, when you're going in prayer all the time, and you're constantly praying, and you're the one praying, and you're speaking tongues, you're singing, and you're dancing, and you're flipping, and you're flopping, and you just falling at the mouth, and you just all laid out on the floor, and ain't nobody saying nothing to you, you're opening up the door for being having a self-righteous spirit.
Yes, yes.
So what happens is you come out of that, and you're like, I know that God is with me because I pray every day, sometimes 2 and 3 times a day, and I fast all the time. But what did God say to you?
That's
so now
right.
You're having dreams. You're having dreams that you're in a car accident. You had a dream that you done went to court and they done sued you, and you know you don't have a lawsuit coming from nowhere. You had dreams of somebody shooting you or somebody taking the sword, not shooting you, because a lot of times those are demonic dreams. But you having dreams where someone has taken a long, sharp sword and stabbing you, and you like, oh, I bind the devil. I bind the devil. No, God's trying to get your attention.
Mm-hmm.
I tell dreamers all the time, be careful, because, you know, now, Apostle is the apostle. He loves the people of God, so do I. I love the people of God just as much as he do. But he blessed the Lord, blessing Jesus. I don't care about people's feelings.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care how it come out. Sometimes I do, because, you know, you have to tend to people different ways and things like that. But one thing I tell dreamers, be careful what you tell me with your dreams, because I'm going to tell you the truth. And
yeah.
You can't tweet your dreams up. I've had people to come to me with the issues that I just explained, and they said, well, I had a dream. The people were just stabbing me and slicing me with these swords, and people were doing this. But then all of a sudden, this great boisterous light just came out of nowhere, and it just knocked me down on my back. I woke up speaking in tongues, and God said, well done. I said, stop lying. God didn't say that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the reason because, Socrates, is when you're taking your dreams to a prophet, you have to understand, even on telephones, we can see right through all of that. You got people who want to be so anointed to where they try to use witchcraft, and they don't realize it's witchcraft. They think it might be a slight manipulation where they would add certain things to their dreams to make it sound anointed so that they can get a prophetic word. Or, you know, a real good, juicy prophetic word. Ooh, that means you're going all over the world. You're going to travel the country. And, you know, because you was doing this and you was just going around and you was knocking on different doors and you saw different cities in your dream. That just means you're traveling. And it could have been that you were watching the History Channel. We don't know. But the Holy Ghost going to reveal. Help me, Jesus. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to laugh right there, but people do a lot of stuff, prophets. They do a lot of strange things, but they don't understand that their dreams tell off on them. And it's all because of what they do not do in prayer. They don't allow the Lord to speak to them in prayer. Sometimes you're born in prayer, and you may not say 2 words. The Lord will minister to you. Let him minister to you. He'll show you. You got this door open. You have that door open, or you have this door shut, and I need this door to be open so that I can come in. There's a picture that we used to see all the time, and after I say this, I'm turning it over to Apostle. But there's a picture that we used to see when we were little. Anybody that came up, you know, was born in the late 70s, you know, they were 80s babies. You know, I was born in the 70s, but I'm an 80s baby because I was born in 79. So you could probably relate with me when I say there was pictures of Jesus. And he had his red and blue robes.
I remember that.
In his chest. And he knocking on the door, but the door still closed.
I remember that.
The body of Christ. Ain't nobody going to open the door for the Lord to come in your heart. He can't come in. He's knocking at the door. And now every time I think about that picture, I see a Laodicean church. Because the Bible says you stand up, you're shouting, you're screaming, you're jumping, you're dancing, you're praising. The organ sound good, the choir singing and hitting the right notes. But I'm still standing at the door knocking, trying to come in the service.
Jesus. Mm-mm-mm-mm-mm. So it's safe to say a lot of it is emotionalism.
Yes. Hold on. Here's Apostle. See, okay. Say that one more time.
It's spiritual addiction.
Okay.
What it is. Because people, probably, you know, people can worship.
Whoa.
You know, people, some people worship prayer. They don't worship God.
Mm-mm-mm.
Some people are so addicted. Well, I pray, and I just told one of my mentorees, come up off the threshing floor.
Mm-hmm.
Come up off of it. Because I asked, I said, okay, what is the threshing floor? What happens on the threshing floor? Where did it originate from?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
So you just doing it because somebody else doing it?
But you on the threshing floor. That's just like saying, now, there's a, Lord, help me get this right. There is a gun that is used for military purposes.
Mm-hmm.
Called a Desert Prophetess. I don't want to get this wrong. It's called a Desert Eagle.
Okay, I never heard of that.
My mother used to work in the FBI, and there was some stuff that they did not shoot inside a building.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was too powerful to shoot it. And you don't shoot a bazooka at somebody inside of a building.
Yeah.
Only going to kill them, you can kill you.
Mm-hmm.
Take the whole place down, scrapnel all in your skin. Now you got them, but you got you too. And that's the problem with the body of Christ. You hit the devil, but you ain't got no strength to take a hit. Don't know what weapon you using, so you ended up just blown out the water because you don't know. You can have a weapon, but if you don't know what to do with it, is a weapon against you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
My tongue, I fight my, first of all, that's to talk to God.
Mm-hmm.
Your tongue. And when you're casting out devils, you're not supposed to be speaking in a million tongues casting out a devil, because if one thing I know make demons upset is you lay hands on a person on their house and you speak it in tongues, because they receive that like you cursing them out because they can't hear what you're saying.
Whoa.
The only person that understands tongues is God.
Yes, yes.
You know, because we hear people lay hands, you're delivered. No, I don't think so. Because we'll go over that, because there's conditions for the deliverance minister that they have to walk in, because I've seen people lay hands and get deathly sick after they lay hands on people. Because you got to train you got to build your spirit up to the level to handle that, or you're going to get sick.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard of some people even dying. Because when you lay hands, there is not just you imparting something, but there's an exchange.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You're imparting virtue, and they're taking that virtue. But you got to be able to break off what's on them without it coming back and affecting you.
Yes, yes.
And in personal experience, one of the first times that God picked me up in the prophetic, I ministered. I never flowed like that in my life. And that's because I was stuck inside of a church that was a prophetic vacuum. Everybody knew each other's business, so wasn't nothing to prophesy. You just told each other business.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
When I left that church and God shifted me, I came to a place where I knew nobody, and it made God responsible for the results because I didn't know anybody. And familiarity chokes the anointing.
Wow.
The more calm you are, the less you're going to see God move.
So is it, and I don't want to get off the subject, so is it safe to say this? A lot of times when you're friends with somebody, you're real close to somebody, it's kind of hard to give them a prophetic word?
Unless that person isn't, you can be real close to somebody and still not be familiar. It's a spiritual discipline, though.
Okay, I gotcha.
Because there's certain things that you don't enter into. They got to understand your spirit. They got to know when you're in the spirit and when it's just you. Because if not, they'll get the two confused and call the devil God and God the devil.
Mm-hmm.
You have a word, Jesus. You have a word of this blessed Lord, you blessing me. But you have a word of correction for your friend. And if they don't know how to receive the Lord in their personal life, they'll never receive from you.
Wow.
Because now, Apostle, the enemy that's on them is going to make them think like you're competing with them when you're actually trying to get them delivered, bring them where you at. But then, you think you better than. You think you all that. Not at all that. I just got a relationship. So we got to get out of praying just to be praying, praying just to sound good. Hitting the churches, you pick up the microphone, think you interceding when intercession starts at home. Your praise and worship starts at home. Oh, God.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does.
Apostle,
I want to ask you.
Am I saved? This is going to really make people think about, are they saved? Do I have a relationship, or am I just having, help me, Lord, y'all going to understand. So speak of the Holy Ghost, because you can have relations with somebody and not have a relationship. And some of us have relations with God in the spirit, but there's no relationship. There's no covenant.
Wow.
Oh, God.
Wow. I have one caller on one. I guess they want to make a comment, but I want to ask you a question.
Sure.
A person that is like overweight, we already know not all the time, but a lot of times it's like the spirit of gluttony, and you see some ministers actually in church and they're casting out demons, and that's one of the things I always wonder: how can a person be that overweight and can still like cast out demons?
Wow. That's all I can say. Wow. You really hit that prophetess. Jesus help me.
I really think about that all the time.
Yeah, that's just like, ooh, Jesus, because there's so much. There are people that deal with pride devils, but they still cast out demons. Because this is what I really got to explain this. There are people, Tiana, that operate in the anointing, but when you don't, see, this is the thing about God. God will allow you to stay, and it's not just about overweight. It could be anything, because one of the strong men is a strong man of the spirit of heaviness, and that does attack a lot of people that deal with overweight. Obesity as well. But the thing is, there is a place where God will allow you. That's why God is, you got to make sure that you have a relationship, because you can be powerful in God without a relationship with him. Because those gifts and those callings come without repentance.
That's right.
So the thing that will happen, God told me that a long time ago. He said, I love them. Some other people of God, come on, God, I'm laying hands, but I still got issues, and folk getting delivered and set free, and why ain't this gone from me yet? And why do I always feel like this? And why is this still after me? And God says, because I love them, but I'm using you. I have to understand that I'd rather be loved by God than used by God, is what I'm saying.
Yes. Yes.
He says, because I love them. Those are my people. But I'll use a jackass. I'll use a rooster to deliver my people. It doesn't matter. God is sovereign. Oh, God. He uses whoever he wants to use. That's why, God, you got to make sure that the spirit of Nimrod don't jump you, because you'll start doing things, being powerful, but won't realize that you don't move beyond God.
Wow.
And folks will get set free, and then all of a sudden, people that get close to you, you realize they got the same stuff you're dealing with. Powerful, speaking tongues, folks getting delivered underneath you, but no one is sharpening you. The Holy Ghost don't have room to cut you in prayer. And you need to stop that. You need to put that down, because you don't want to lay hands on everybody go to heaven, you go to hell. Because gifts will take care of themselves. Your relationship needs work.
Yes.
Oh, God.
And that's the number one thing. A lot of people don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. They don't.
Oh, God. Jesus.
All right, Apostle. It's one call. I'm going to take this call. And again, you guys, if you want to talk with the Apostle or the prophets, you have to press number one. Or if you're listening by chat, you can send me a chat and I can like deliver them the message. Oh, well, they hung up, so okay. You can continue.
Jesus.
Wow.
But yeah, a lot of people can move in signs, wonders, and miracles and think that God is okay with them. Mm-hmm. And he's not. It's just because you got power, and because I'm telling you, it's a lot of spiritual. God just said that people got spiritual addictions. We think that the person mm-hmm. out there smoking cigarettes and drinking Jack Daniels have a problem. When we mm-hmm. are in prayer, not praying to God, we're in prayer just to be praying.
Mm-hmm.
Binding the devil just to bind it. Praying because it feel good. Worshiping because, ooh, I just love that song. Nobody greater, but you understand. You're praying around, I call it speaking in tongues around the power. Or dancing, or you just dancing around power. You haven't stepped in it yet.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's what most of the church is. It's cosmetic. It's not literal.
Say that again. Ooh.
It's cosmetic. It's theater. It's been a theater. You come to church, you get entertained, you shout, you dance, you laugh, you cry. You come home, oh, I got my exercise and my body hurt because I done shouted in all three services.
Yeah.
But there's no change.
Ooh.
You're still cussing out your husband, still cussing out your kids, still hate your pastor, still cuss somebody and give them the bird and flip your finger up at them. Oh, God. When somebody cuts you off in traffic, when the Holy Ghost takes care of all that, when you have a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
I tell you, deliverance is about relationship. Because demons, y'all got to hear this, demons have how can I say it? They own a hierarchy. And
mm-hmm.
if anything understands order, it's a demonic spirit.
Mm-hmm.
That's why when the sons of Sceva came and said, you know, we're going to cast you out in the name of the gospel of Jesus Christ that Paul preaches, Some
mm-hmm.
folks laid hands tie on it in the name of the God that Benny Hinn preached. But he's that God ain't your God.
Wow, yep.
that level. That's why it's so difficult. People get upset, but I tell you, don't you take nobody else's tongues because you take on their warfare.
That's right.
Anio ratatatata is not your tongue. God wants you to say TTT, ta ta ta. All you need to say is TTT and ta ta ta. Just don't begin on robust and run. Because that devil is going to visit you and slap your brains out in the spirit. And then you're going to be coming up against confusion and bewilderment and don't know where it's coming from. Or you went to the crazy house.
Yep, that's right.
Because you done took on another man's affair.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God. Half the body of Christ is operating in gifts God didn't give them. You stole that shout. God, what are you saying? You stole that dance.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I'm not when somebody, you know, hit on the organ properties, they go, I don't hop on the floor. I'm telling you, because the organ's going, and somebody else jumps, somebody clicking. When I can be at Denny's drinking water, and God will tell me something, and I gotta calm down.
Mm-hmm.
Stuff don't move you. You got to get to the place where nothing means nothing, people of God.
Mm-hmm.
We're not affected by, when God dances me, because God dances me, I don't get up and, oh, I just feel the presence, I just got to dance, I got to get this shout out of me. I never shout for myself, and I always ask God, why, God? Why don't you allow that? Why? You know why? I never have a selfish moment in the spirit because when you are true, says that God uses you beyond
mm-hmm.
you. He's using you as a channel
mm-hmm.
for somebody else to be delivered. So
yes. So this is another question I wanted. Well, I don't know if it's a question or a comment, but I'm gonna say it. As far as you saying, a lot of times, you know, when you at home, you praying. It's safe to say a lot of times we can be delivered at home before we let someone else lay hands on us.
Yeah, in this day and age, you better get delivered at home. Because a lot of us, like I said, church has turned into a show.
Mm-hmm.
And ministry is not about preaching. Everyone, you know, everybody hypes on, oh, they can preach. Ooh, this one can preach. But you can't minister.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a difference. Because whether I ever hoop, I might. Jesus. Whether I hoop or not, does not determine whether you get set free or not.
Mm-hmm.
And we got folks that are hyping on preaching when it's called ministry.
Mm-hmm.
It's called God taking care of the welfare of his people through the power of God.
That's right.
By the power of somebody you know. because you get messed up going to a big-time revival. Get messed up because a lot of people come from personalities anyway. And sometimes the preacher's so in the flesh, they know what kind of offering they're going to get before they get there. They know what kind of people are coming. They know who's going to text them and say, I'm going to meet you there, doc. So God does not have permission to move because familiarity. And so God's voice, he can't say anything new because you know too much. And that's why I thank God for you and the ministry partners, because y'all, any one of y'all can step up and say, apostle, prophetess, you know, evangelist, teacher, you know, pastor, it's time to pray, it's time to shut down, it's time to get on your face, because you can't be a true prophet and God don't tell you to shut down.
That's right. That's right.
I don't care who you are. If you truly called a prophet, you are not preaching all the time. You can't have a word from God.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's no intimate time. There's no time in the chamber.
Hmm.
You're not, if you're a prophet, I shouldn't always find you in the mall. I shouldn't always find you at the movies. I shouldn't always find you, for some folk, at the club. You can't, and then you preach it. I got 39 preaching engagements, and that's only 28 days in February.
You know, that's one of the things, before we got a call, but before we take that call, that's one of the things I want to ask you, because I know some people, they travel, they go. How do they spend time with God when they're constantly on the go? They doing ministry, but they're not doing God, if I'm making sense.
Right. You can't, if your plane ride is 2 hours, you know, help me, Lord. You got to have that time. You can't always be on the road. Because there's spirits on the road that know you tired, know you've been out there, and they traveling to city with you.
Mm-hmm.
Because they know that this person's still eating McDonald's. They ain't fasted.
Yep.
Got a sweet tea, and now McDonald's got them sweet tea to pie. Child, please. Ain't got no word from God. Because you got to have, that's a part of deliverance ministry. Come on, somebody. You got to shut down. You got to turn your plate down. The Bible said these kind come out.
By fasting and prayer.
Preachers, they need to come out of you. These kind come out. You see, we all use that, you know, I prayed that fast, the demon came out of me. It really wasn't for you. It was really, he was telling the disciples to pray and fast so the demons could come out of the people.
Yep.
Your spirit, it's building your spiritual muscles. Because I'm telling you, there's a demon out there that will break you when you're tired, when you're not up on your word, when you have not been on your face. So that's a part of deliverance ministry. That's a part of, that's why I said a lot of people are going to be like, am I saved? Have I? Because deliverance is a part of being saved. Deliverance is a part of being a citizen in the kingdom of God. You have to walk in deliverance, maintain deliverance, because you don't know, there were places, and I think, I'm trying to remember recently where we were, but I just thank the Lord that my life was clean, because we went somewhere, and I said, ooh, God, thank you, Lord, that when I was angry, that I didn't say the wrong thing, because we were in a situation where a person needed prayer, and if I had been off in my flesh somewhere, I'd have felt guilty, convicted, and God would have shut me down, and it's very, I'm very, very, I feel for people that live a filthy life with no remorse and lay hands on everybody. I feel remorse. I really feel bad about that. God is so awesome. Not only sometimes, a lot of times you just transfer in the spirit, but there are occasions where God will break that person free, power of God be moving in that hour, and you get home, got a gun in your head, don't know how you move in the power of God because you're not delivered.
Wow.
It's tight, but it's real. Ready,
but it's real. But it's real. Well, Pastor, we're going to take this call, and I want to just tell you guys again, if you want to talk with them, you have to call in and press the number one. So, Pastor, we're going to take this call. We do have a caller on, so we're going to take this call. Hello, caller. You're on the line.
You're so very kindly. I want to say, Prophetess Tiana, I admire your show and what you're doing, and I am very grateful and appreciative to Apostle Conrad and Prophet Riley for the information that is being provided. And what is on my heart is, and I am inspired to one day perhaps write a book, and it is about pyramid religion. And what I see and what I feel is that we are about building up people and not about building up Jesus Christ. And the pyramid being man. And man cannot do anything for you. And we need to edify God. And that's where the true deliverance comes in. And we're so busy edifying man and not the body of Christ.
Yes.
And nothing is being done in the denominational churches with the fivefold ministry. And I feel that those churches are basically failing by the wayside. And it is very unfortunate when you don't have anyone in there who can see for your soul. And it's good about Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, but there are 66 books of the Bible, and basically none of them are being touched. And preachers are basically going where they are familiar, and they can't go any further than where they know. And it's unfortunate that the people perish for lack of knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
And I am so grateful that this show is being aired where people can become knowledgeable and can receive information and can grow, because demons are real.
Yes.
Attack us. Spiritual warfare is real. And when it happens, we need to know what to do about it. Ephesians 6 and 10, if you don't know anything about putting on the whole armor, you know, we know about real guns.
Mm-hmm.
When you want to hurt somebody, we know what to do about the streets, what to do about the spirit, and what to do about your soul. Most times we don't get that. And
yeah.
It is most unfortunate, and that's why people are dying by the wayside. And that's why people are outside of the church. The people who are inside of the church are just in there and not really in there.
Wow.
For a show, and they're just going through the motion. They go in there heavy, and they come out heavier, and we're certainly in there for the emotionalism. And it's time out for dancing and shouting and carrying on, and there's nothing wrong with that. But after the feeling, what are you left with?
Yep.
What are you left with?
Mm-hmm.
And please pardon me for being common, but it's
yep.
almost likened unto sex. After the act, what are you left with? Do you have a relationship with the man or the lady? Or was it just that act or that moment?
Mm-hmm.
Do you have a relationship with God? Do you have something to fall back on?
That's right.
And if you don't have anything to fall back on, unfortunately, you are a lost soul. And we got too many lost souls.
Mm-hmm.
And I just simply wanted to share that. But I am certainly grateful for the information that is being shared.
Mm-hmm.
And I certainly am taking it in.
Amen.
Thank you for allowing me this opportunity.
Amen. You're welcome. God bless you.
Thank you.
Apostle, you want to piggyback on what she was saying?
Really just reverberate everything that was said. I thank God for the opportunity. Like the word says, to preach. I posted a scripture on my Facebook page, and I think people were asking for prayer. But it was it's a scripture, and Paul was saying, pray for me. That I may preach the gospel, it's out of Ephesians, that I may preach the gospel fearlessly and without fear, boldly. And I just thank God for the opportunity that there is a place where people can come and be delivered. It ain't by my hand. It's not by anybody's hand. And I think we also have to be careful because there's a spirit going around. There is I have to say this, there's a Lone Ranger spirit going around.
What's that?
Huh?
What is that? I never heard of that one.
Where spiritual covering, we gotta understand, is spiritual, which means that God is covering you, but there is going to be somebody, I don't care if it's a pastor, a mentor, a teacher, or something, somebody is after a while going to have to tell you how to get where you need to go. Because
That's
you
right.
don't have it all in yourself. That's why God said to not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. And it doesn't mean inside of a building. That's why when you asked the question earlier about web churches and is that God and this, it's very much God. Because we are really operating in ignorance if we think that everybody in the world is going to make a Sunday service. There are people in the bush. There are people in Korea. There are people in different parts of the world that cannot get to a church.
That's
right. They
can't
get to a church service. They don't know nothing about tying a bow tie. But they're in the mission field. And they assemble each other, whether it's through a radio, whether it's through a television program. Everyone does not have the luxuries that America has.
That's
so
right.
So we have to understand that not only are you, it's never about man, ain't never been about man, but we have to say in the same breath, we got to watch out when we start talking about leadership that God has anointed and chosen, that we are not dismissing the order of God. Because when you dismiss the order of God, you dismiss your inheritance in God.
Yep.
People, you know, see my age, I'm 28, but I didn't just hop up. Somebody's up there, well, where's your covering? I was like, okay, I got this phone number for you, and I want you to call them at this time because they're available. This person speaks to me in my life on a regular basis. My pastor, my covering. So, and that's with deliverance because we got a lot of folk operating in what I call a vacuum cleaner salesman ministry or Lone Ranger ministry. Where you come from? You laying hands on me. You know, spit down my neck. You know, you need a. You know, people going hallelujah that have halitosis. I'm just being real. Where have you come from? Because that's the sons of Sceva ministry. You laying
we
hands on the name
be
of somebody else's Christ. It ain't been birthed out of you. Where did that come from? Where them tongues come from? Because everybody speaking in tongues is not. Oh, God, it's not the Lord. Every tongue ain't the Lord's tongue.
That's right.
Every hand being laid ain't the Lord's hand. Every preacher ain't the Lord's preacher. That's why it comes with authority. That's why he said you ain't under authority. Yeah, you. I know the word. I know people that know the word because I'm underneath the order of the word. The person that I, the demons was basically saying, the person that I'm in gave me legal permission to be there.
That's right.
And when you don't have the legal permission for the Lord to be in your life, they're looking at an empty vessel that they could have just jumped right in.
That's right.
So you can't cast me out. You don't even have a devil in you. Oh, God. You don't have no other spirit in you ruling you but a human spirit. And a human spirit can't cast out a demon spirit.
That's right.
A human spirit can't tell an angel where to go and what to do. But the spirit of the Lord can.
Yes, yes.
I really hope somebody being blessed because this, y'all.
Well, Apostle, we have another caller on, so we're going to take this call.
Okay.
Hello, caller. You're on the line.
Hi. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Hi.
I have a question. I wanted prayer, and I had a dream, and I'll be real brief. The dream is really quick. I feel like there's some spiritual significance to the dream. I am a Christian. I'm going through a divorce. The dream is my husband and I, ex-husband-to-be, and I have the same doctor in the dream, and it's a woman. And we go into the doctor's office, and the doctor falsely accuses me of something. And I said, that's a lie. I'm leaving. And he goes into a room with the doctor and gets in her lap or she gets in his lap. I woke up. I felt very upset. In the real world, we both had the same doctor, and it was a man. And I don't know if I ate pizza or something at night, but I felt like the Lord was trying to say something about the dream, but I'm just
can you
not
repeat
understand.
That one part again for me? You and your husband in the dream.
Your
husband went to the doctor, your ex husband to be.
Yeah. And it was a woman doctor, and the doctor, I was by the door, and she falsely accuses me of something. I don't remember what, but I just said, that's ridiculous. That's a lie. I'm not coming back. I'm leaving. And she went into the room. I guess he had already gone into the room first, the examination room, and she went into the room after him, and they got, like, in each other's, they got close, like, and sat on each other's lap. And
the doctor sat on your husband's lap?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. That almost told me about why you're in a divorce. Your dream basically just told me, in so many words, why you're going through a divorce. None of this has anything to do with you in your marriage, and I can't go too deep, if you don't mind me not doing so, because some things, this is a very touchy subject. However, there were some things that you have been accused of to for your husband, ex-husband, to be, and I understand that seriously when some people saw my ex-husband and they tried to keep us together, and I'm like, that's not my husband, you know. But your ex-husband-to-be, Lord, help me put this in the way I really want to put this. There are some things that happen where he tried to put some things on you to make you look at fault as to why the two of you are going through a divorce.
Yeah.
And all you need to know in this area of your life is to stand still. All you have to do is stand still. Do what you're supposed to do. I don't know if this divorce is contested or not contested. I'm not certain. Are you and your husband in agreement with everything on the divorce? Or is there like a little fight?
Yeah, a fight. He's trying to cause big... One, I want peace, and I just want it to be over, and he is... trying to cause all kinds of trouble.
That's why you dreamt that, and that's why I asked you, because I saw where the divorce, and I get my terms mixed up, but I saw where the divorce is contested.
Yeah.
And to that nature, to the point where there's going to be an issue in the courthouse, even to the point where also the dream lets me know that he will try to lie to have his way. All you have to do is stand still. I speak that over your life as a prophet of the Lord, that you stand still. Whatever you need, whatever documents you have to have, just have that and stand still. Don't argue, don't fight, but if someone gives you the opportunity to speak, just like you did in the dream, you boldly say, this is a lie. The reason why you were able to leave out of the hospital room or out of the exam room is because God is going to give you clear exit out of the marriage. I always teach people when I'm interpreting dreams that when you see doctors, when you see lawyers, when you see firemen, not doctors, let's say this. If you see doctors, if you see judge, like a judge in a dream, if you see a CEO in a dream, or if you see something in a high standard like that, if you see a principal, you know, something of that nature, if you see not just a pastor but like a bishop, or the Pope in your dream, and if they're doing things that you know that is not right, it always represents one of the two deities. It's going to either represent the Spirit of God, or it's going to represent Satan.
Yes.
It's always going to be one or the other. And the way that you will know is, one thing that we know about the Lord is he is truth.
Yes.
Because even in the scripture it says, Jesus Christ, you know, states that I am the way, the truth, and I am the light. No man comes to the Father except by me. So the fact that he is the truth, you can't tell the truth, you're a lie, when you know that there's a lie coming from it, because then it's not of truth. And whatever that is not of truth is not of God. And the Bible also states that Satan is a liar and that he is the father of lies. So whenever you're detecting a liar or whenever you're detecting a lie from a doctor in your dream, a lawyer, not a lawyer, but a judge in your dream, or a CEO or a principal or a bishop or pope or someone in a very high standard who calls shots. In the natural world, people who call the shots, if you're dreaming of that person, you don't necessarily have to know them. But if a lie is coming out of them, then it has not come from the Spirit of the Lord, but it has come from the enemy himself. And he is, according to the scripture, the accuser of the brethren. So therefore,
Your dream just told me that your husband is blowing up a bunch of lies to have his way in court. But I speak to you, and I speak to your spirit man, and I speak to his spirit as a prophet of the Lord, that you shall come out of that courthouse with everything that you have rights to in the name of Jesus. I decree and declare that this divorce will go smoothly. This man, I see cheating. I don't know. You know, a lot of people say, well, that's easy to say. Every divorce will end in cheating. Let's just get that out of some people's heads. Amen.
I didn't understand what you said. You said, I see this man.
I saw where there was another person involved, another lover involved.
With him?
Yes. There's a lot
of
stuff
woman?
That's going
on with it. Could it be a family member?
No. Your husband has been, yeah, that's why I said I don't want to go too deep. Your husband or your ex-husband-to-be has been messing around.
Wow.
He's going to do everything he possibly can to keep you from winning what you need to win in the court.
Yeah.
There's some other things that you don't know about. That's why you are in an exam room. There's some other things that you don't know about that he's doing, and it's going to all show up at court. Everything you need to know. If it doesn't show up in court, it's going to come up in your spirit, or somebody's going to come to you and they're going to confess to you what has happened. And I can tell you that, not only can I tell you that prophetically I've been through that, and I'm telling you, woman of God, God has your back in this season. Just by your dream, just like I was telling prophetess today, a lot of times dreamers come to you and they give you a dream and it's telling everything about your situation.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You didn't even have to mention the fact that you and your husband was going through a divorce. Your dream said it.
There's a dream. There's a issue with the real life. I did leave the doctor because I had I did have an issue with this person. And is this person involved in this situation?
Now that I didn't pick up.
Okay.
I didn't get anything on that realm.
Okay.
The only thing that I got was basically what your dream was involving, and that was between you and your husband and the enemy that's trying to play him. Not so much that he's coming to the marriage, and we have to understand this. I'm going to throw this one at you quickly. A lot of times it's not the enemy who breaks up marriages. Sometimes it's the Lord breaking up the marriage because he had never ordained the marriage anyway, because the Bible says that what God has put together, let no man put it asunder, not even the enemy, not anything spiritual. Nobody can come between that. And if it can be broken up, it's one of the two things that happened. Someone got in serious disobedience, or the marriage was never supposed to be in the first place. And I kind of want to shoot that rumor down. I'm not saying to say you woman of God, but just to help you, so won't nobody come and try to, you know, make you feel defeated and make you feel like you lost and things like that, because you're going to go through all of that. And I saw people coming to you with that.
People are coming out of the woodwork to say that you can never remarry and you should have tried harder. And
no, ma'am, that's not the Bible. I'm sorry. That's not the word. Whenever a person breaks covenant according to Scripture, whenever a person breaks the covenant on their end, they're not to remarry. You can remarry. Well, it just depends on who broke covenant. If you did it by adultery, I don't care. The Bible said, Jesus came and he said, look, I'm not coming to do away with the law. I'm coming to fulfill the law. He said, I'm not going to tell you that whoever cheats on his wife or cheats on his spouse are worthy for a divorce. But he said, if you even so much as look up on another person lustfully, that is grounds for divorce. That is scripture, I believe, is found in Matthew. Now, that includes pornography, that includes masturbation, you know, things like that that is unclean. Because one thing about marriage, it has to resemble the spirit of the Lord with the relationship with the body of Christ, being the bride. And anything that does not match the body of Christ, anything or the relationship with the body of Christ, with Jesus Christ being our bridegroom and we being his bride, if it does not match, then guess what? It was not of God, and there is grounds for divorce. And that's another reason why I told you that, because you may have people that come and discourage you and say, well, you can't remarry, you can't do this. They may be divorced and have remarried themselves. We have to be very careful who tells us what.
Amen.
Amen. You be encouraged, woman of God, because God is in your favor. And he is in your favor, and he's going to work this all out. That's why you had the dream, because he's coming through all kinds of leaps and bounds to try to get whatever. And I'm not trying to make him sound as a bad person, because I don't know him like that. I can only go by your dream. However, the Lord is on your side, and God is also giving you authority. But back to what I wanted to say to you is the reason why that this is in a clinic or an exam room is because everything's not always revealed. When we go to a doctor in real life, we don't know what the doctor's going to come out and say.
That's right.
So something has to be revealed. So that's why I'm telling you there's going to be some things that's going to be revealed to you concerning this marriage and why you're really going through a divorce.
Amen.
That is... I feel like it was the reason why is that he did not detach from family, and the family is involved in another religion,
Yep, that will definitely break up a marriage.
Yeah.
You are unequally yoked.
Well, the family's involved in the opposite of our religion, of my faith in Christ. So, yeah, so I think I don't know if he's involved in that or not, but I just it's enough for them to be involved in that. If I had known that prior to the marriage, I would have run.
I know. I understand perfectly. I've gone through the same thing, even with the religion part.
Well, yeah, I just don't know, you know, all I can do is what you said, just stand and just trust in God and
trust
that's
the Lord.
It. Trust in
that's
Him.
It. And we're praying for you.
Thank you.
Look, we pray for people and we take these calls. Sometimes we write names down. Sometimes we remember because we have a few regulars, but we definitely take names down or we just remember them even in our spirit and we pray. This is not a cliche. Not a game. We definitely pray. So we're praying
I appreciate it. I need God to really move. I need employment, and I need Him to just show up because this man is looking to really cause problems. And I just praise God that it's going to be over and He's going to set me free from this and that
yes,
I don't have to live the rest of my life with this person.
Amen. Yes, He will.
Amen.
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 I just wanted to say I'm not saying that divorce is the right thing, but in an abusive situation, it's a rescue. It's a God rescue.
It's a rescue and it's a right thing.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I'm just coming up against all types of religion right now. It's a right thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I know somebody is on this line. This prophet is on the line. What she talking about? No, you never been in a situation. Look, man, Tiana, I promise, you know, prophets, I ain't trying to take up nobody's time. I know people want to call in. Let me help you. I divorced because not only was my ex-husband involved in infidelity, but there was some witchcraft that he was also involved in, even so much as trying to get involved with the Freemasons, trying to get involved with the secret society and things of that nature. And I knew, I said, if you get involved in these things, I have to leave. And I can't stay because you're going to open up a curse to my children. Now, not only am I supposed to be the prayer warrior for this home, but I have to cover my children at all costs, even if that means breaking it off with you. And the Lord spoke to me, and He said, get out of this marriage. I never told you to marry him in the first place. And sometimes the Lord does that for some of the people who are a little religious and say, honey, stick with your husband regardless. These men are beating the brakes off of their wives.
Wives
are beating the brakes off of their husbands.
Mm-hmm.
And they're being encouraged by religious leaders to stay in their marriage. Listen to the Lord.
Amen.
Listen to the Lord.
Amen.
Yeah, the family's involved in witchcraft.
Yes, ma'am. Get out of that.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Just get out of that. Yep. God's going to rescue you. He's got you.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you, women of God. I appreciate you very much. And
you're
I will
welcome.
Call you back with an update.
Yes.
God bless
God
you.
God bless you. Okay, prophets, we have another caller, but also I have someone that actually sent me a text. But before we get into that, I want you to give them y'all information again, in case they want to contact you on a personal level.
sure, you can always email us at transformationprofit@gmail.com. That's the word transformation and the word profit, P-R-O-P-H-E-T, @gmail.com. Also, I believe shamarprofit@gmail.com.
Mm-hmm.
S-H-A-M-R, profit, P-R-O-P-H-E-T. And also, I'm going to throw out the number again. I have to pull it up, but I'm going to throw out the number you can also call to get prayer requests, all of that.
Okay, we have like 35 more minutes, and like I said, we have another caller, and we have someone that actually sent me a text about a dream that they had. So if Prophetess is ready, I'm going to go ahead and read it to her.
Okay.
This person said they had a dream. He said, I had a dream that I woke up, and these three, I guess, men were standing by my bed. One was at the foot, and the other two were on the side of my bed. I sat up really fast in the dream and said, what is going on? The bed started rumbling and shaking, and the three men started marching around my bed. I sound like he wanted to say it scared the mess out of me. I also wonder what that dream meant. The three men had on all black robes and their face were covered. Then I woke up and it felt so real that I had to ask God to help me fall back to sleep. And they want to know, what did that dream mean?
Wow. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Okay. I just want to make sure I didn't accidentally mute. Lord, I'm going to explain this without causing the spirit of fear to come on, but anytime, and even now, just bind the spirit of fear right now in the name of Jesus, and we take authority over right now in Jesus' name, and we thank you for the spirit of love, peace, joy, and a sound mind to be released even now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Hello? Y'all hold on, their phone just went dead.
Hello?
Okay, Prophetess, your phone went
out. Yes, when you have a dream that you woke up, and if the situation was still the same, like if, let's say you fell asleep in your bedroom, it was still dark, your lamp is sitting to the right, things like that, and you dream, you go to sleep and you dream that it's still dark in the bedroom and it's, your lamp is still sitting to your right, you know, the same way, but except you're seeing these three extra men.
Mm-hmm.
Those are human spirits.
A lot of times
that happens because there's some witchcraft that is present some way, somehow, somewhere. We have to be very careful. That's why we have to be very much led by the Lord. And in some cases, it may not be so much as witchcraft, but it may be the enemy himself sending messengers, just like what Apostle was just talking about, sending different messengers to come to buffet you, especially when your bed is shaking and you're going through warfare and you're like, hey, what's going on? The black, these are satanic messengers. And a lot of the time, they come to a believer who has such a great call on their life with a great anointing. And God may, you know, have such a great assignment on them or for them to perform. However, the enemy will come to try to stop that and to annihilate the assignment. If so do, it's caused a spirit of fear by entering into your dream world. But any time that you're dreaming, that you wake up, a lot of times you're not dreaming. A lot of times you found yourself being in an open vision.
Wow.
And so that means you were asleep, but you were not asleep, if that makes any sense to any dreamer that's up under the sound of my voice. When that happens, you have to pray in the spirit. You have to pray, you know, the blood of Jesus. You have to start decreeing the name of Jesus. And if you don't decree the name of Jesus, those spirits will come back. You, even when you go to sleep, you need to go back to sleep. That dream has no interpretation.
but the enemy is after this person, big time. And in that being said, that person should be very much encouraged. You know, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations or even in such things as that right there, because that means that something, you know, I got to have something that you want for you to come and try to rob me or to hurt me or to do some kind of damage to me and I don't know you. Then that, I got something that you need for me. And if you feel like you got to inflict some kind of harm to me or even threaten me with fear or things like that, that means I have something very valuable and that you need from me, and that is the anointing, because the enemy doesn't have the anointing. At one point, he could have had it, but because we're in a position where he could have been, he's going to do everything in his power to come against us and to try to stop us from whatever it is that God wants us to do. So the night before you go to sleep, cover yourself in the blood of Jesus. And I speak to your spirit that when you go to sleep, that if warfare should come back up to you again, such as this, that you will begin to call on the name of the Lord. Because the Bible says that when you call upon the name of the Lord, that you shall be saved. That's even in your dream realm. This doesn't always refer to salvation, though it does. But if you call on the name of the Lord will come and he will save you from your situation. Mm-hmm. Power, all power is in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
You say, and when you recite the name, well, what if, okay, prophetess, but what if all of this is happening and I try to say Jesus' name and it stirs me? Think it. Because even your mind is a powerful weapon in the realm of the spirit, if you know how to use it and if you can make it line up with your spirit.
That's kind of like how they say when the devil is riding your back and you can't really speak, but you can think it. Okay.
That's the spirit of Mare. That's the spirit of Mare at attack. And when it's like that, the best thing for you to do is to pray Jesus or to thank Jesus. And even, and not even so much as to relax, but just begin to thank Jesus. I went through this warfare today, just this early this morning, and I began to scream help. I was trying to scream help. As soon as I began to scream help, all this light came in, and I saw these, like, Arabic writings or something on a glass. Somebody was writing in black magic marker trying to show me Arabic or some kind of writings in another language, and I would not look at it. And I just began, I said, help. And as soon as I said help, it shut my mouth. And I said, you know, even in my dream room, I thought to myself, I said, okay, I'm going to fix you. Jesus, come now. I just began to call on the name of the Lord. I decree and declare that by the blood of Jesus, you're going to loose off of my body and you're going to loose off of my spirit. And I'm going to take back authority over my dream realm in my spirit. And it broke off of me immediately.
Wow. All right, prophets, we have one more caller. I don't know if anyone else want to call in. We have like 27 minutes, so if you guys want to call in and ask a question, you have to press 1, and we're going to go ahead and take this call. Hello, caller, you're on the line.
Hi, I think I spoke with one of the prophets the other night because I had a nightmare about I had killed my boyfriend. And I had spoke with her, and she was just like, that it mean that I was going to cut him off. But I had another dream this previous night, and it was like the opposite of the other dream, because in this dream, he got sick, and I actually was taking care of him. And I'm confused as to, like, what that meant, because it's like in one dream, I'm killing him, but in this dream, I'm taking care of him when he gets sick. I'm still, like, trying to learn how to interpret the symbols in my dream.
Well, I hate to say this, but your first dream, it trumps everything. Sorry.
Yeah.
What happened was the soul tie still is not broken, so your emotions got involved in the dream.
Okay.
Because you want to be there for a person. There's nothing wrong with that. You know, when you have a soul tie, it's just like with me and Apostle. we have a soul tie. We're supposed to have a soul tie. He's about to be my husband in December, so we have no choice but to have one. So soul, mm-hmm. not all soul ties are bad, but when they come from places where the Lord does not want those ties to be formed, and all ties are not sexual ties either, but when they come to be formed and God did not want them to be formed, what happened is we'll get to that place where we were like, well, I can't break it. But as soon, and I told you this, I warned you this, that as soon as you try to break it, the enemy is going to do everything possible to show you what you're supposed to do, and if you do this, and if you do that. And the reason why I say that your first dream trumps everything is because of the way you try to kill him. It's not so much as the harm, the bodily harm that you're going to do towards him, but when you told the dream, your spirit cried something out to me, and your dream cried out something to me, and it said, well, I really don't want to leave him like that because he's really a good guy. He's a good person. He's good to me. He's nice to me. We have our ups and downs, and we go through our falls, and we get back up, and we love each other and things like that. But you still have to ask yourself the question, is this who the Lord want me to be with? Ask yourself this, woman of God, because God's going to use you in the area of prophecy. And you have a prophetic, a heavy, heavy prophetic mantle on your life. Will he be able to cover you? We don't have time to play dating games now. You know, will he be able to cover you? If the enemy came in your home, because we're in the time where the enemy is going to come into the houses of the people. We just went through it last week, all up on studying, on demonology, prophetess. Well, look, when you sold those books into us and we began to study, and when we started to try to shut in, we had all kinds of paranormal activity in this house. Things was being knocked down off of my dresser and off of my counters and stuff. I mean, there were footsteps that was going around, doors being slammed. I went to go clean a building yesterday, and we heard all kinds of racket. And I said, somebody's in this house. What's going on? What's on the top of this building? We were the only two people who were authorized to be in that building. And it was just all kinds of things. The enemy does stuff like that to distract you, even in your dream realm. He may not come and do all kinds of wicked stuff in the house. You know, he may come in your dream realm and will come just so sweet and so innocent. And sometimes it may not even be the enemy. Sometimes it could be you.
Okay.
And that's okay. That's the first thing I want you to understand, that it's okay to feel like that. It's okay to love somebody, but you also have to love them enough to say, hey, I'm sorry, but I'm not the one. You're going to make someone a good husband, just not for me, because this is where God has me to go. God is telling me to go right, and you're going west.
Mm-hmm.
You know how many, there was one particular guy, when I said this, I'm going to cut off. There was one guy who proposed to me before Apostle, proposed to me, wanted me to be his wife and everything. He paid my bills, took me shopping, got my hair done, just everything. And then not only on top of that, he encouraged me. He even prayed for me, you know, and I would feel better. But just as soon as my brother called me, my blood brother, as soon as he called me, sis, I need prayer. I said, sure. He said, that's one thing I'm not going to have. Everybody ain't going to call this phone asking for no prayer and asking for you to preach to them. And you, all this prophesying, all this stuff going to have to be cut out. And now you're with all that preaching and stuff. And I mean, that's good that you love the Lord. But when you marry me, all this got to come down. I said, oh, I'm sorry. You're not the one. Here you go. Take your ring back. Can't deal with it. Sorry. That soul tie broke quickly because you tried to come between the relationship between me and Jesus Christ. I'm not having it.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I'm not saying that's how he's going to do you, but please just hear the voice of the Lord. I'm sorry, but he's not the one, and the only reason why you had that dream is because of you. And like I said, dreams come from three different places. They come from the Lord, they come from the enemy, or they'll come from us.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Amen. Amen. Well, God,
thank you.
You're welcome. God bless you. Okay, prophetess, I know on tomorrow, I think y'all going to get, y'all going to really get into demonology, because I really want the people
yes.
to know and really be prayed up if they decide to get on this show tomorrow.
Definitely. And my thing, I think what I want to asked is that everyone, like, if they have comments and they don't have real questions, they need to hold the comments, because that's also a part. I'm sorry, I'm really big on this because I understand the spirit realm, and that's a spirit of distraction. And we might have to hold comments and things like that, because sometimes the word gets so good, and we know we're leaders. We're like, yes, because the Lord showed me. And, you know, we sat down at a big old dinner table. We'll be there at hours just rejoicing and just blessing the Lord. But because of this particular subject, we got a whole lot, lots, when I say lots, of information that we, the apostle and I, that we need to really push out in that hour, you know, at least in that hour and a half.
So you saying for like an hour and a half, or maybe how long you want? You don't want comments for
probably
how long?
About an hour.
For at least
probably
an hour.
About an hour. Mm-hmm. That we'll just, you know, shut the phone calls down, and then
okay,
like I guess in your time it's from 8 to 10, so maybe from 8 to 9, we're just going to go through and just really release what the Lord wants us to release. Some things we do know about demonology that we cannot release because some people are not ready for. Because like I said, woman of God, we had ceiling fans cutting up. Everything was taking place over here. You know, we're used to it. It doesn't move us. It doesn't scare us, you know.
Yes.
And things like that. But some people can't handle that. And they'll send a text message. And if there's something that's being said, and if it's scaring you or anything like that, but you still know that the Lord is calling you to be on this line so that you can be educated on this, then we'll stop. We, for that case right there, we will stop and we will bind the spirit of fear if need be, because even that is a spirit. Be very rested up. This is the warnings I want to release. I want everybody under the sound of my voice, even if you invite other people on this line, please get your rest tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Pray and cover yourselves in the blood of Jesus tonight before you go to sleep. Because the enemy, he may fight you, and you'll be like, oh, I can't sleep. And then you wake up after you do sleep, and all the next morning, you really just get tired, and you're falling asleep on the line. We don't need anybody to fall asleep on the line. If you feel like you're going to fall asleep, I sincerely and seriously advise that you do not call in on the line, but you get the recording after it's done, and you listen to it when you're well rested. Because any person who will fall asleep on the line, that is an open door. That is an access for the enemy to come in. There may be people calling from other religions that will come and try to argue this. I have done a message one time on demonology, and I had a person from the Church of Satan who had called when I had a Blog Talk Radio show, and he called, and he messed around, and he got converted. So deliverance ministry is real, but we have to be very prepared, and don't be alarmed. If you see them saying things in your chat boxes, do not respond. If you see someone in your chat boxes saying Jesus is not real, and if you see different stuff that's not of God, don't get on there typing the blood of Jesus, shut up your way. Just let it be. Because when it's all said and done, the Bible says that the anointing destroys the yoke, not your tongues. Don't type in tongues. Any of that, it's all to distract you. Your dog's gonna look. I may have to put my baby Duke. That's my doggy. That's my sweetheart. But I may have to put him on the porch for a while. I don't know, because dogs may start barking. And the last thing, oh my gosh, if your telephones ring. If your cell phone's going off and you're on the call by way of your house phone, do not answer the phone at any cost unless you know that you know that you know it is a serious emergency. Do not answer the phone calls, because the enemy will travel in that way and he will cause all kinds of stuff to come into your house. We're going to talk about all of that.
Okay. Okay. Well, Prophetess, I have one more caller on, and after this, we're going to close out. I want you guys to give me your information again, like the telephone number, because I know some people want to talk to you guys on a personal note, and I know everything you cannot air on the show. So I'm bringing this caller, and then after that, then you can give them your information.
Sure thing.
Hello, caller, you're on the line. Hello. Okay, well, I guess they don't want to ask a question.
That's okay. Well, we always have tomorrow, but Again, the information, especially the phone number to the ministry, is 901, that's the area code, 300-9039. Area code 901-300-9039. Unfortunately, we'll take phone calls on Wednesday morning because we need to shut away.
Okay.
We have to pray, cover ourselves, and just really hear from the Lord. And demonology is such a vast subject.
Yes.
Demonology, first of all, the meaning of demonology is the study of demons.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's right.
You have so many levels in that area, in that region. You have demons, you have imps, you have demonic spirits, you have dukes, you have principalities, you have spiritual wickedness in high places, you have powers, rulers of darkness of this age, you have angels, you have even ministry spirits, and this is what I'm hearing the Lord say to me, ministering spirits, but not from the Lord.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Fallen angels, having to be careful of accepting preaching engagements in certain regions because it may be demonically inclined by a certain particular principality, and the Lord knows you're not ready for it, all of those things. You know, God's not going to, apostle had a preaching engagement in Pakistan, and the people got in offense because I told them, I said, I don't want my husband going over there, and I would not be going over there because that's the warfare on a different level.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
You know, sometimes we get so anointed, we feel like we can take down every single devil. That's not true.
That's right. Now, I want to let you guys know, tomorrow is 2 days, but I want to let you guys know, they're on this show every week. And we only doing 2 days of this week because of the holiday. But prayerfully, next week, we might have to do another 2 or 3 days because I know the information is a lot of information. And I don't know, we'll pray about it, and I'll get with Apostle and Prophetess about how many more days, if need be, because I just don't think 1 hour tomorrow is going to cover everything, you know. And I want you guys to really tell people about this, because the purpose of this show is for people to be blessed, set free, deliver whatever they need from God. That is the purpose of this radio show. So I know a lot of times I'm probably aggravating when I'm really, really sending out the information, but I really want people to be blessed, and I want people to be changed, because this information, you're not going to get in the four walls. You know, so that's one of the things why I have this show and why I send out the text message. And if you guys follow me on Facebook, I blow it up on Facebook, you know. So, Apostle, again, give them your website as well.
Okay. Yes, I'm also on Facebook under Bowman. It's under Sharonda the Cake Lady Sherelle. But, again, you can email us. TransformationProfit@gmail.com. That's the word transformation, the word profit at gmail.com. Also, the website is www.transformme2012. That's the words transform, the word me, and the numbers 2012. wix.com/transformme. And again, that's www.transformme2012.wix.com/transformme.
Amen. So is there anything else, Apostle, you want to bring to the people before we close out this call?
Just really to, and that's the Lord you're asking, just to prepare their spirits. Because the closer, and you have to know this, the closer that we get, and we're seeing it, the closer we get to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, the more spirits we're going to see released. And I want the people of God to begin to pay attention to the weather. I want you to pay attention to the weather. Pay attention to earthquakes. Pay attention to the tornadoes. Pay attention to what's going on in the northeastern part of the United States, because we have not seen anything yet. Pay attention. Because the other day God told me, he said, I want you to begin to watch the sky, because the sky and the elements are going to begin to prophesy about what I'm doing, what mood I'm in, what am I saying to the body? And just to be alert, and be open for the Spirit of God to speak to you at any time, any place, anywhere, and be in prayer, be prayerful, be prayed up. And go with God. God's going to go with you. Praise God.
Amen. Amen. Now, okay, I want to ask you a question, Apostle, before I know we got like 11 minutes. What do you think about what's going on in Israel? Because it's just so strange that right after the election, they started this bombing and everything in Israel.
Wow. That goes back to when God, the word Lord God gave me about Israel. He said, so goes Israel. So, ooh, Lord.
Mm-mm-mm.
So goes Israel. So goes the world. And I don't know if the gentleman is on here who dreamed about the bomb. But you guys, again, I want to say this. Pray for President Barack Obama. Pray for his family. Pray mm-hmm. for leadership. Because when you don't pray for leadership, you are unprotected yourself. Spiritual mm-hmm. leadership, government, you got to pray for him. Because the young gentleman that dreamed about the bomb, we need to begin to pray. We need to pray, saints. Because we talked about Ishmael and Isaac and how Hagar having Abraham's son birth out unnecessary spiritual warfare that has continued from then up until now, fighting over a piece of land that actually belongs to the seed of Abraham, belongs to them and those abroad, because Abraham's seed would be spread abroad like the sand on the seashore or the stars in the sky. But they don't understand that. So the enemy is keeping warfare there, little warfare there, and we don't understand that so goes Israel, so goes the world. There is going to be, and hear this out of my mouth, there's going to be bomb attempts. There's going to be attempts at the president's life. Mm-hmm. The enemy don't like that he is back in office. And somebody can, I don't understand that, all the stuff that he's saying. And it's not about what he said. It's about the stand that and why God would allow him to stay in the White House. You can't always look at everything at the surface level. You got to go deeper. It's not about what you think. It's about what God said.
Yes,
it's
yes.
what God said. And God knows how what he's doing. So trust the Lord. Pray for government. Pray for this time, because the bombings is very spiritual. I would not be surprised. I would not be surprised. Keep your eyes on the news. Watch. Pray and watch.
Yes, yes. Amen. Okay, you guys, it's just been such a blessing. We're going to tune in again tomorrow at the same time. So tell your friends, your cousins, your uncles, everybody about this show, because we really want people to know what's going on, how to fight the enemy. We want people to be blessed. So you guys, make sure that you tell everyone about this show. We will talk to the apostle and the prophetess on tomorrow. And, yes, so you guys be blessed and have a good night.
We are so thankful you decided to join us this week. To keep up with ministry updates, go to www.TianaCopelandMinistries.org and follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/TianaCopelandMinistries. Join us next time and make sure you invite everyone to join us as well. We pray for you, you and you, that the blessing of the Lord maketh it rich and addeth no sorrow with it. Proverbs 10:22. God bless. And all will be